Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburn, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
My name's Rebecca. I'm a registered nurse. I have my bachelor's of science in nursing. So after I had kids, I had trouble losing weight. So I got tested and my thyroid was off. So I kept gaining weight, got more fatigued, found out that I had Sjogren's. I was on pain management. I was on antidepressants. I was on blood pressure medications and anti-anxiety medications. And it got to the point where my husband was telling me that I needed to get up of the morning to go help the kids. I was laying on the couch. I couldn't even move. It's like I couldn't move. I was just sitting there and I was crying. And my husband had just come home and he was making dinner and doing the dishes and everything else that I should have been able to do. I was so fatigued. I couldn't even like reach up to wipe the tears off my face.
I really believe humans are dying way earlier than we should, mm-hmm. and we've accepted it, which should be a huge tragedy.
It is written in our DNA to live 120 years. It is written in our DNA. Now imagine that, 120 years, and we are only living to what?
75.
What's the average, like 70 something?
Yeah.
So that's another almost 50 years, five decades that we're missing out on.
We're thrown away for pizza and Twinkies and temporary mouth pleasure. And why is it happening? So that we can make big food, big pharma, big medicine richer.
Quick interruption. Did you know we have an incredible membership site for you called healinghumanity.life? We have a special offer going on right now. Learn more at the link in the description. We have courses. We have expert Q&As with the good doctors. We even have a Healing Humanity Heroes Zoom call once a week, highlighting real heroes that will inspire you on a path to healing. The community is wonderful. We're going to be implementing a buddy system so you can be held accountable, recipes, all sorts of great stuff to help you on a path to healing. Learn more at the link in the description below.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome my friend Rebecca to the channel. Rebecca, how's it going?
It's going good. It's cold here in North Carolina.
Yeah, I've got snow on the ground for the first time, but I can't complain. I just I texted an image to my buddy Bill in Alaska, and I'm like, don't you feel sorry for me? And there's like this much snow on the ground, and he's in like multiple double digits below zero freezing up there. So he's like, no, I don't feel sorry for you. So Rebecca, you're awesome. You've been a huge part of the Healing Humanity documentary for almost a year now, or I'm bad with dates, but it's crazy.
February will be a year.
Wow. You are also a coach for Dr. Barry's amazing group, which shout out, by the way, that was one of the first groups I joined. You're just awesome. You did keto, carnivore, you got your own story. So I'm looking forward to learning more about your story, sharing more about what you've learned.
Yeah. So my name's Rebecca. As you can see on the screen, I'm a registered nurse. I have my bachelor's of science in nursing. Fun fact, I actually have a bachelor's of fine arts in music as well. Wow. So that was before that I met my husband, he's in the army. And so music does not travel well. So I decided to get a nursing degree and went back and got my bachelor's. I'm working currently on my master's in nursing. To become a nurse practitioner. And I'm a certified primal health coach and a certified ketogenic nutrition specialist.
Wow. So I got to just say something real quick. On the nursing front, mm-hmm. I have been to so many doctor's appointments over the years, and Dr. Barry's awesome. I'm not talking about Dr. Barry, but my doctors all sucked. It seems like the nurses are the ones that know what's going on. Like, I've heard this from other people too. It's like doctors are really busy. They're seeing hundreds of patients, but it seems like the nurses are the more sort of go-to. When you say nurse practitioner, is that mm-hmm. almost like one level under a doctor, or what is the difference between a nurse practitioner and a nurse?
So a nurse practitioner is a graduate prepared nurse that has specialized in an advanced practice field. So mine is going to be family practice. And they are prepared. You either have to have a master's or a doctorate, and you are taught and passed boards to be able to assess, diagnose, and prescribe and treat chronic disease and illness. Mm. So you are essentially doing the same job that a physician does, but usually for less pay. We're trying to bridge that gap. And it depends on what state you're in as to whether you're allowed to practice independently, because there are some states that are like, here, you're out, go hang a shingle and you can open up your own practice in family practice. Yay. Or like here in the state of North Carolina, you have to have a collaborative agreement with a physician that says what you're allowed to do without the doctor present, what medications you're allowed to prescribe without the doctor coming behind you and sign in and things of that nature. So it just depends on your state on what you're allowed to do. But in most states, you're still allowed to be autonomous and practice pretty much independently and diagnose and treat.
Wow. So you're not quite there yet with the FNP, but you're close?
No, it'll be another, let's see, what is it? We're at the end of 2024. Can you believe that? End of 2024. It's insane.
Crazy.
It will be sometime fall-ish of 2026 that I graduate.
Okay. And you have to pass like some big board exam or something for that?
You do. There are two boards that you can take depending on, which way you want to go. There's two different board bodies that you can go to, but they're national. And you just have to sit for one. You don't have to sit for both. You just choose whichever one you want to do. And you come out with the designation if you pass.
Right. And then you'll have more letters next to your name on the bottom there, right?
More. Yes. I am collecting the alphabet.
That's awesome. So the thing that's awesome about you, Rebecca, you're in healthcare. Mm-hmm. So, but you're also practicing kind of what you're preaching and what you're coaching. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about your personal story? Like what led you to keto carnivore? What sort of health issues did you have along your journey?
Yeah. So, I'm going to start way back at the beginning. So after I had kids, I noticed that I had trouble like losing weight and things like that. So I got tested and my thyroid was off. They never tested me for like autoimmune issues, during that time, just regular thyroid testing and, oh, you're low. Here's some thyroid replacement hormone. I was obese and I was still having lots of symptoms of weird symptoms like muscle pain, fatigue, joint pain, and ended up finding out that I had an autoimmune disease, but they didn't know which one yet. So I kept gaining weight, got more, fatigued, found out that I had Sjogren's and started trying to find treatments for that. And there's really not anything you can do. There's one medication they'll put you on. And one of the big side effects really is anger and personality changes. And it only really works to help Sjogren's patients in maybe 25 to 30% of the patients. So there's a big trade-off. And so I had the bad side effects. So I went off of it and I was like, I've got to do something. Nothing really helped. And in 2018, we had moved to Pennsylvania and my parents had moved in with us for a while because they were both disabled and my mom was getting worse and my dad needed help. And I just kept gaining weight. I was on pain management for the autoimmune pain in my joints and muscles. I was on antidepressants. I was on blood pressure medications because my blood pressure would constantly run 140s, 150s. And anti-anxiety medications. And it got to the point where my husband was telling me that I needed to get up of the morning to go help the kids. Basically, he was coming home from work and doing my job and then getting up in the morning and not being able to do my job because he had to be at work. And if you've never done that, if that's never happened to like to you, it's probably one of the most devastating things ever. It's laying there on the couch. I remember when we were at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, I was laying on the couch and I couldn't even move. It's like, I couldn't move. I was just sitting there and I was crying and my husband had just come home and he was making dinner and doing the dishes and everything else that I should have been able to do. And it's just like, I was so fatigued. I couldn't even like reach up to wipe the tears off my face. So, you know, something had to give. You know, we were in Pennsylvania now. I had lost some weight, but then got back up to like 190, was on pain management, and I couldn't even hardly get out of bed. And my brother, who's also in healthcare, which is funny because he didn't stick to the keto diet. and now he's a lot worse off, but that's for another day. So he was like, hey, so there's this diet called the keto diet and it's helping people with autoimmune. So maybe you should try it. And I was like, I looked into it because I'm science nerdy. I looked into it. I was like, this has some weight behind it. I'm going to do it. Like there's nothing else for me to do. Like I'm going to do it. And it was pretty cool because I started losing weight and I had gone to pain management and I was like, can you please get me off these pain meds? Like, I don't want to be on them. Like I don't know why you guys won't give me physical therapy, but can you give me physical therapy? And they were like, yeah, physical therapy. And I was able to get off of pain meds. I lost weight. Pain went away. I was able to get off blood pressure meds because my blood pressure stabilized. Anxiety meds I was able to get off of. And I did slowly wean off of the antidepressants without the need to go back on anything. And that's when I kind of decided like I was going to, and I was a nurse, but I wasn't working at that time. I was like, I need to do something with my time now. And decided to go back and get my bachelor's. So I was able to do that, take care of the family. You know, I had energy to do things again. I had the mental clarity to be able to learn again, which is pretty cool. And I also decided to get certified in ketogenic nutrition because I was like, I want to help other people learn about this. And it kind of just snowballed from there. And just things started adding on to the end of my name.
Nice. When you go back and you were saying you were on the blood pressure medication, you were gaining weight, antidepressants, pain medication, Our mutual friend, Dr. Barry, I remember him saying before, people end up on this cascade of pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's what happened? Like you're sick for one thing, you take some medication, and then maybe there's some side effects, and now you're on another medication, maybe there's some side effects, and before you know it, you're on all sorts of medications. You don't know which side effects are from which, and you're just kind of at a low point.
Yeah, I think that happens in a lot of people. I don't know if it necessarily happened with me, but you see it. Like in healthcare, you see it all the time. It's actually pretty interesting because I'm a hospice nurse by trade. So if nobody knows what hospice nurses do, they help when people are dying. And it's interesting because we take people off medications when they're dying. We're like, oh, well, you really don't need these things. So we're going to take you off your statins. That's like the number one thing. We're like, they don't need them. Take them off of them. And so we start ticking off all these things and taking them off. And patients will rebound and get way better for 6 months. And it's like, interesting. But You do see it, and they even teach you about it in nurse practitioner school. It's like there's a prescribing cascade. You're going to give people this, you know, antidepressant, and it's going to drive up their blood pressure. So now you've got to put them on blood pressure medications to counteract that. And that blood pressure medication could cause, who knows what else, like, who knows? And you just keep prescribing more to cover the side effects of the drugs. So, I mean, it's very common.
Right. When you started doing keto and mm-hmm. started feeling better, was there a point where your husband was like, whoa, something's happening here. This is working kind of thing.
I don't know if it was necessarily, it's been kind of like an ongoing thing throughout ever since 2018, because it was March of 2018. And it's interesting because like, he didn't really do it with me. Like my meals that I ate when he wasn't there were always keto. And then I would do something keto meat-based for dinner, and then I'd have sides for the rest of the family. So if we were eating panko breaded chicken tenders, that's what I was eating. And everybody else ate fries on the side or something. But he did notice, and he was like, so he's always encouraged me to keep going. Like, I don't think you ever need to go off this. He's always been supportive. I'm very fortunate because we get this question in Dr. Barry's community. I've seen it on YouTube channels, and people are like, how do I get my spouse to be supportive? And I can't imagine not having a spouse that is supportive. I'm blessed. I am super blessed. My husband's awesome.
Right. Yeah. I get that question a lot too. I'm fortunate now too. My wife is doing it, but when I first started, I was kind of alone. But I found a lot of people use sort of your method where it's like you cook a big dinner. There's a lot of meat in the dinner. There's other sides, and then you just eat the meat and then the other one eats the sides. It gets tricky because it is a challenge. But then I feel like some people new to carnivore, they might use that as a crutch or an excuse, like, well, my spouse isn't going to do it, so I can't do it kind of thing. I hate to see that.
Well, I jumped in head first. I was like, I'm super headstrong, and y'all probably have noticed that about me. It's like, this is what I'm doing, and y'all can lump it or, you know, love it or lump it. Like, that's how it is. And I've just been really lucky that they were supportive. And my daughter went on the journey with me back then too. And there was a period of time in 2019 that she fell off of it until 2021. After my mom died. But now my kids are both on like ultra low carb, and my husband is also ultra low carb. I'm trying to get him more 100% carnivore, but he really likes things like salsa. I think he really loves salsa and sauerkraut. So there's that. But you know, my son has a lot of food aversions because they're both autistic, my son and my daughter. Getting him onto it's more ketovore. So he eats nuts. That's the big thing that he eats that's out of like not carnivore. He eats bacon for breakfast, a modified PB&J for lunch, and about 2 to 3 pounds of chicken thighs for dinner, and he supplements with nuts. That's what my son eats. That's it. And keto bricks. He does like keto bricks.
Nice. So yeah. What sort of changes have you noticed in terms of the autism for your kids?
So Jacob is pretty much recovered. He still stems some, but he does it here in the house and away from, you know, society, so that it's not socially because people don't like to see kids stemming. They're like, man, these people are weird. And it is weird if you don't know what's going on in their heads, or why neurologically they need it. But most people don't know he's autistic. Like, I have to caveat all this too, but that when he was young, he did have ABA therapy. I don't want to say that it did, you know, it was a miracle. If you go look at his video with Alia. Yeah. It's the one with Alia. He calls it, he says it's like magic. So he talks about how much it's helped him. With Audrey, it's more of her, ADHD is gone. Her autism is a little more severe than Jacob's. So socially, she's a little more awkward, But when it comes to her ADHD, it's like, oh my gosh, this, especially this semester, all of her grades are really great. Like, and she's focusing in class and everybody's talking about how she's doing so well. And I'm like, holy crap. Finally, your senior year, you're finally focused. But she's tightened up her diet a lot and it took a long time for her to heal from, before this school year started, we had finally finished weaning her off of her psych meds because she was on antidepressants.
That's amazing. I've talked to a couple people. I had one woman that came out to our theater. We did a Inspiring Carnivore Stories meetup, and she had a young child with autism that was nonverbal and mm-hmm. went carnivore and started speaking. I thought that was incredible. Much younger though. Have you come across other cases of autism in your coaching or anything where they've seen improvements?
No, I'll tell you, like, I've put it out there that I'm happy to take parents, you know, as clients who want to put their kids on this. I won't take a kid as a client necessarily, but if parents want to reach out to me, but parents are, it's really hard to get them to change their kids' diets. And I'll tell you, we've become complacent. I don't know how old fashioned you are or how you were raised, but I was raised that the parents are the guardians and they are responsible. And, you know, if the kid's doing something wrong, it's the parent's fault. And you should probably be a parent. Does that make sense? Like, I buy the food, or my husband makes the money. I buy the food. You eat what I put on the table. And there are parents that won't fight that battle. And you might have to fight it for a couple of days. But they're like, but my kids won't eat. I'm like, they won't starve themselves. Eventually, they will get so hungry that they'll eat that steak that you put in front of them. Let them go hungry. It's okay for them to feel that. Now, if you're intentionally starving your kid, don't do that. That's child abuse. But it's like, if you're feeding them healthy foods, when they're sitting there like, I want a Pop-Tart. No, you can have some eggs and bacon. Like, okay. Like, then you're going to not eat until you eat the eggs and bacon. That's how it's going to go. And I think that parents are scared to do that because of things that have happened in our society and the police state that, you know, some people live in. So people are scared to do it. I mean, if parents want to reach out to me, if we can figure out a way to get my son on it, I can figure out a way to help you get your son or daughter on it.
Yeah. Well, I love what you said there. That's one of the biggest things. It's like, even if you're worried about keto, carnivore, it's too extreme, at least get the kids, like, baby steps, right? Get them off the cereal. Give them some scrambled eggs and bacon for breakfast. Like, that is just a huge step in the right direction.
So huge. I mean, we send these kids to school on Pop-Tarts and Lucky Charms and Fruit Loops and low-fat milk. And we wonder why teachers are like, will you please put this kid on Adderall? Yeah. Like, by the way, if any teacher ever tells anybody that is illegal, they can't do that. That's prescribing. Just FYI. But, you know, I've had teachers suggest that to me and I'm like, excuse me, you're out of bounds. But that was when they were little, but it's like, we wonder why. And it's because we're feeding them sugar and processed junk.
Yeah. 100%. That used to drive me nuts too. It's like you're blaming the kid, like there's something wrong with the child. And it's like, no, you're hopping them up on sugar and garbage and stuff. It's tricky because it's normalized. And our parents, well, not to this extent, but sugar was fine. This junk food was kind of fine, mm-hmm. sort of thing. So it's normalized. But if you really take a big step back, it's like, this is uncharted territory. The chemicals and the sugars and the cereals and the concoctions we're giving these kids now. It's never happened throughout mankind. It's a new thing. And now all of a sudden, all these kids have ADHD or they're bouncing off the walls. And the thing that just drives me nuts with the ADHD is like, oh, here's a pill for the kid. And it's almost like there's something wrong with this child. There's something defective with this child. And that's mm-hmm. just a horrible thing to say. I think that's a big problem in medicine in general, too, with a lot of things beyond children. Just like, I've got extended family, a cousin that's got type 2 diabetes, and he believes it's a defect in the way his body handles insulin. There's just something wrong with me. I'm not like everybody else. while he's drinking Coke and eating birthday cake. And he just had his leg was just amputated at his knee a month ago from type 2 diabetes.
How old is he?
He is 46.
46. Yeah, my brother, I kind of hope he doesn't watch this. So he had to have a stent put in. He has severe psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. He's on immunosuppressants for that, which cause a lot of problems. And he had to have a stent put in his heart. And he gave up on low carb because he says it'll just kill him faster. And now he's on a whole bunch of insulin and can hardly walk and has muscle atrophy because they put him on like a PCSK9 inhibitor, which is for cholesterol. Yeah.
It's heartbreaking, right? I don't know what it is with that's your brother, you said?
Yeah, he's 50.
Yeah. So my cousin, I've got a brother-in-law. It's the sugar addiction for my cousin. It's so strong that, so I mentioned his leg, but 2 years ago, it was his foot. Half of his foot was removed, type 2 diabetes. In the subsequent time over the last 2 years between the foot being removed and the entire leg being removed, every family reunion, birthday party, get together, he's eating birthday cake and drinking Coke while I'm sitting there drinking water and eating a strict carnivore diet. And he's checking his CGM. Oh, I went over. What am I going to do? That addiction is so strong that people would rather have birthday cake and sugar than their leg.
And cover it with insulin. What people don't understand is once there's no place for it to go, the insulin's not going to work anymore. And it's that's why you keep needing more and more. The tissues are saturated. You're not using it. And then it gets in there and corrodes and destroys the tissues. And then what happens? Then your veins and arteries are cut off.
Yeah.
That means you lose circulation. It's such a bad cascade. It's 100% preventable.
That is the thing with, you just mentioned it, Dr. Barry with the ADS. Mm-hmm. That was one question I asked him when I interviewed him. I'm like, would there even be any type 2 diabetes if everyone was eating a proper human diet? Like, no. Like, everyone I've talked to, they're like, that's the one thing. Like, in every case, you can reverse type 2 diabetes.
Unless
maybe I shouldn't say every. Almost every.
I will say that there's one case that I came across as, it was a consult, not a client. And they're asking just basically what they should do. And looking at labs and looking at what she was eating she's like, my A1C is 12. I'm only eating fatty meat. I don't know what's going on. And I was like, there's something else going on. So, you know, there are cases and, you know, I referred her out to a physician who then referred her to a specialist. And now she's getting worked up for things, trying to figure out what's going on. So, but for the majority, so let's say 99%, she's the weird 1%,
right?
That there's something going on and she could probably have some sort of genetic abnormality that's causing problems. And that's fine. She'll get it fixed. But it's like 99%. If you put people on a proper human diet, you eliminate you don't even have to be ketogenic. That's what I need people to understand is that, like, I'm not dogmatic on carnivore. I believe some people need it and some people can get away with not doing it. But if people just ate real, whole, one ingredient foods, like you shop the perimeter, you eat cheese, dairy, so full fat dairy, you're eating eggs, you're eating fresh meat, you're eating fresh, like non-starchy vegetables that haven't been like plumped up to gigantic sugar proportions, like in carrots and things like that. Like, so you're still eating squash and lettuce. If you want crunchy water with glyphosate, try to eat organic, people. Eat organic, you know, but you're eating berries and, you know, low glycemic fruits and ditching the processed grains and stuff. You won't have type 2 diabetes. It just won't happen.
Yeah. That, well, as you are becoming a family nurse practitioner, you can lead the charge, because that's one thing I see so much of is kind of blaming, oh, this is, there's something wrong with the way you handle insulin, therefore you need the medication for type cancer too. A lot of people with cancer, it's just a fluke. We don't know. There's just something wrong with you. So here's chemotherapy. Yeah. There's always this thing of, we don't know, it's something wrong with you. And then when you have that mindset, it's the default is medication, 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 and not necessarily treating the root cause, which is just crazy to me.
It feels like we do have like, I don't want to say a revolution, but it feels like that it's, we're on the verge of a medical revolution in this country, where people are like, let's take a step back and see if we can get back to root cause instead of, you know, allopathic Western medicine. People want functional medicine now. Right. They want people who are like, hey, how about we fix this with diet and lifestyle, and you'll be around much longer to play with your grandkids. Yeah. And you know, it's, we're on the verge, and I'm hoping that we'll tip over. And by the time that I am out into the world, that into the medical world, I should say, like, then we'll be able to do better things with insurance, because that's the problem right now that a lot of people don't understand. If you go to, let's see, who's out there? Revero, which is Dr. Sean Baker's. He's the face of Revero for that company. And then you've got Duke has the metabolic medicine. They are not concierge. They have the ketogenic clinic with Dr. Eric Westman. That one takes insurance. You have Dr. Tro's medical weight loss and direct primary care. They are concierge. They do not take insurance. And it's because if you take insurance, you have to do what the insurance companies tell you to do. I'm hoping we're going to tip over into a point where people can actually practice medicine again, instead of you must do this. Okay, here's this.
Yeah.
Which is like an epidemic right now in the medical profession.
Yeah. It seems like there's a groundswell, like it's, something's about to blow up with all of it. So that I'm hopeful for that. Mm-hmm. My main thing is, I'm hoping as individuals, people learn, because I feel so foolish now, but I always show my thing. I was on like 15 medications at one time.
That big box. I've seen you bring out the box. It's crazy.
And in retrospect, I feel foolish. Like, why, some of those pills I took for 10, 15 years and I never got better. Why was I continuing to take them if they didn't help with the problem? But I never knew. I had no idea my depression and anxiety was not because of lack of medication. I had no idea it was nutrition related in a million years. I thought I was broken. I thought I had a chemical imbalance in my brain. And I think a lot of people, for all of these things, diabetes, cancer, depression, anxiety, a lot of individuals have no clue. It's just the foods they're eating. Like, I never would have imagined my depression was from food.
It's crazy. And what's the problem is that if you look at all the research on mental health, they never think about nutrition until recently, until Dr. Christopher Palmer came on the scene with Brain Energy. If you haven't read his book, go read it. It'll blow your mind. Literally. So when they look at it, they're always hypothesizing. We think, or it is believed, that obsessive compulsive disorder has to do with serotonin imbalances in the brain. Well, what we're finding out is that the gut makes serotonin. We've known that for a long time. It's in the gut. And that if you fix the gut, a lot of times it fixes things in the brain, which is, you know, pretty interesting, you know, the whole gut brain axis. And nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that if you look at medications for mental health, half the time it's a placebo effect, and none of them have ever been really proven to fix anything. Like, even if you're putting people on lithium, you're just bringing them down to a point where they're not a danger to themselves or society. Mm-hmm. You know, same way with Thorazine in psychosis. So it's like, you're not doing anything except sedating them so that they're not a danger. So why? Like, what are we doing? And why is it being pushed back against so hard that when things aren't working, you know, it's interesting. And we have an explosion of mental health issues in this country, as is evident by watch the nightly news.
Yeah. Over 1 billion people right now with mental health issues. We interviewed Chris Palmer's incredible. I haven't interviewed him yet.
So amazing.
But we also interviewed Dr. Georgia Ead, who wrote mm-hmm. Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind. Awesome as well. But yes. She's like, it's absolutely grim out there. The thing with the SSRIs, antidepressants, I was mm-hmm. on so many of those. And it's exactly like you said. I've just felt like an emotionless zombie. Like it just tamped everything down. But I did it for years and years. But in addition, and in retrospect, I started realizing and talking to Dr. Georgia Ead, maybe part of the reason I got so fat, I was 100 pounds heavier at my worst, mm-hmm. was because those antidepressants, a lot of them cause you to gain weight. You just don't care. You eat more, whatever the mechanism behind that is. So now I have higher weight, and now my heart's not performing as efficiently. So now I need heart medication. So it's like, again, it goes back to sort of
the cascade.
The cascade.
Well, there's only one SSRI that has been known to actually help with weight gain. So people will take it as a weight loss. Some doctors are foolish enough to give an SSRI as an adjunct for weight loss, and that's Prozac. And it's the only one. All the rest of them, they're all weight gain. Yeah. Same way with antipsychotics, because they put people on. If you ever watch TV, you see ads for medications, and it'll be, oh, Susie is on an SSRI, but it just wasn't enough for her depression. So she asked her doctor about Abilify, which is an antipsychotic. Then, oh, this gave people like 50% increased, you know, happiness. Their depression was less because of it. What they don't tell you is that it causes metabolic dysfunction. It literally destroys your metabolic system. It causes people to have something called pseudo Cushing's, which is like, it's like somebody being on too much prednisone. They get fat. They start getting moon faced. They get stretch marks. They have uncontrollable high glucose numbers. So now they have diabetes, and it's like, or we could put them on a proper human diet and their depression gets better, anxiety is better, and they're not diabetic now. So it's like,
yeah, in retrospect, one of the things I've realized, it's like, we can either use this medication and try to, we know like 2% about what's going on in the brain, but mm-hmm. we think that this pill, we're going to outsmart Mother Nature with this pill.
Yeah.
Which is like, I have never seen it where people are like, yep, that did it. I'm good now. Or we can return to what is natural and eat a proper human diet and treat the root cause of the problem. It's like, the more I look at it that way, I realize, you know, eating meat isn't some magic pill that's fixed everything for me. It's because I've returned to what is natural, the closest to what is natural, given all of the crazy options we have nowadays that were never available before.
I mean, if you go back to the history of food, like nothing that we have today existed, what, 90 years ago?
Right.
Like, well, I say that, but we're into the, we're 2024. So 100 years ago, it wasn't around 100 years ago. And you're like, oh crap. Like Pop-Tarts weren't around. No, Pop-Tarts were not around. Jiffy Pop was not around. Like you weren't, you know, popping popcorn in your microwave. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah. And now all of the, I say this, my daughters. So you just said your daughter is going to be graduating. We've got
both of them are. Yeah. One.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause how old's your triplets?
They're 17. They're going to be 18. They're graduating this year also.
All of our multiples are graduating this year. That's insane.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts? I can't believe how fast that went by too, by the way. But I was saying this, my girls they're all eating proper human diets now, which I'm so thankful for. It took a long time, but they're doing really well.
I know at least one of them was vegan or vegetarian, weren't they?
Yeah. Emma, one of the triplets, for 5 years, she was vegan. And she was suffering. She was tapping out at the end. She was fatigued and had acne. She was going to bed at 5:30. I'm not even exaggerating. At night. She's just
so lovely. Awesome. Your kids are so lovely, though.
Oh, thank you.
You have a great family.
I'm very, very blessed. But, you know, I was looking at them and their peers, and even now versus when I was a kid, not talking about 100 years ago, like I ate junky and look where I ended up, how horrible and sick I was. But when you look at what this generation, our girls,
it's crazy.
It's crazy. Food dyes and glyphosates and everything, pesticides, ingredients you can't pronounce.
So my kids, if you don't mind me showing a picture of my kids, my kids are some of the smallest kids at their school,
Oh,
and awesome. And Jacob, people are like, Jacob, are you anorexic? Because he's normal. Like 5'9" and a half, 5'10", weighs about 126, soaking wet. And it's like, no, he's just not obese.
Yeah. I was going to say he's just normal, but it's not the new normal.
Do you know when he first went on the diet? So his story is pretty interesting. And if you ever want to interview him, like he'd be happy to do it probably, but he didn't hit puberty. He was 14 and hadn't hit puberty yet. Like there was no signs, like nothing was happening. Mm. And we sat him down and was like, something's got to change. You can either do this willingly or I'm going to force you. He cried, but he did it willingly. And he weighed like 145-ish at like 5 foot and was very rotund. And so he started losing weight and the doctors, like he got down to 115 and the doctors flipped out at the military treatment facility. They were like, we need him to come in for monthly weigh-ins. I'm like, yeah, no. Just because now he's a normal kid, normal size. And he hit puberty. Within 5 months, he had full-blown hit puberty. And I was like, because why? Because he wasn't eating soy and junk anymore.
Right. Like,
I was giving him all this estrogen stuff because he liked stuff that had a whole bunch of soy in it, you know? It's like so crappy.
Yeah. We're so myopic. We just look at things like that should be the standard, what your son is, but we have this new normal. Oh, you gotta be, I don't know how many carnivores I've heard say this, Rebecca, where people, and they've done it to me when I lost weight. Are you okay? Are you okay? Like what? I've never been better my entire life. This is like what the proper weight should be for someone with my frame and height. But yeah, they're so used to seeing me fat and everyone else overweight that it's concerning to them when.
I will say this. I want to caveat something because there's so many people. I want people to know something. We're in a very social media society and we see people like, let's throw some big names out there. We see people like Bella and Elle and Nisha, and we see these people that are very thin and have had, maybe some of them have had magical transformations and they're very tiny. Not everybody, that's not going to be everybody's experience. And I don't want people to aspire to that. Because I'm still not even at my goal weight. I think, I'm still got 30 pounds to my goal weight, but I have thyroid problems and that's a barrier. So I don't want people to aspire to something and get discouraged and quit. Like if you started out at, like I did at like 203 pounds and you get down to the 150s and you are now 6-7 sizes smaller than what you were and it's stubborn, you're still a little heavier than what you want to be. Don't give up and quit the diet because it doesn't work. Get it investigated and see what's going on because your thyroid, if your thyroid is messed up, there's nothing you can do about it until you get that fixed. And right. There's lots of science behind that I won't go into and bore you with, but it's like, so many people get discouraged and I see people that are like, I only lost 20 pounds. I had somebody that was like, oh, look, I lost 120 pounds on carnivore. And I was like, I only lost 40. And they're like, what? Why? And I'm like, I don't know. I have Hashimoto's. My thyroid, my body hates my thyroid. Like, it's going to be harder for me. And that's okay. But I don't want people to get discouraged and quit and be like, okay, now I'm going to binge the ho-hos because it's not working. It is working. You're not 200 pounds anymore. You might not be where you want to be, but keep at it. Keep investigating and you will get there.
Yeah. No, it's great advice. That's something that I'm just an individual. I tell people that I'm not a doctor. I'm not a coach. I'm nothing. I'm just an individual, but I get a ton of comments on my YouTube channel. And that has been one that's been frustrating for me is when people aren't seeing the results that other people are seeing. And they either quit or they've like been doing this for months now and haven't investigated further. And I used to be cynical on the coaching stuff. I'm like, what do you need a coach for? You just eat meat. And I'm like, that was really dumb because there's so many different things that go into it. Like coaching, I think, is just amazing just for community because we're the odd ones out. We're the ones eating meat when the whole world's eating Pop-Tarts. It's hard being like the odd one out for that reason. But there are these tricky things. Like my wife, Jen, for example, she birthed triplets. Like that did a lot to her system. That's a lot different starting point than me doing carnivore, her doing carnivore. So she has her own set of challenges. And then, like you said, thyroid issues, there's lots of things. So people watching this, if you're getting stuck, like Rebecca said, investigate more, or I feel like I'm not trying to sell anything with the groups. Like I was a member of Dr. Barry's group. Jen was a member of Bella's group. There's lots of great groups out there. Join a group. A lot of these groups are like $30. I know that's a lot of money, but it's not.
Okay. So let's talk coaching. Let's talk how much a coach costs. So coaches can cost anywhere from $200 a month to thousands a month, depending on what you are doing. If you're doing a fitness and you could be looking at some pretty hefty money. Joining a group that has coaches already built in, you know, like I volunteer for Dr. Barry's community. You get access to us. We help people all the time. Now we don't do it like scheduled on a weekly basis. And I'm going to coach you one-on-one every week, but you do get the support that you need in there. But coaching is not me telling people what to do ever, because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I will never tell somebody what to do. I will help you investigate and find the best, you know, possible options for people and helping people find what they are willing to change and how can we get them to that if they are having habit problems. Like, how can I work out in the morning? I really want to start working out in the morning. How do I work out in the morning? Well, the night before, you're going to lay out your workout clothes, and that's going to be the first thing you put on when you get up in the morning. Atomic Habits, if you've heard of Atomic Habits, the book. It's like building these little tiny things. Okay, so, well, man, I'm always going out to lunch and eating crappy food because I didn't have anything to take. Well, on Sundays, you're going to take an hour and you're going to meal prep some stuff that you can put together. And I'm going to teach you how to do that. You know, just building healthier habits, getting people to change big things in small little increments and tiny ways. And a lot of times it's people, they make their own decisions and their own choices and they figure it out for themselves. I'm just a sounding board. And that's what a lot of coaching is. We have a lot of tools in our toolbox and we help you figure it out.
Yeah. And for, I'm throwing $30 out there. That's one, but you may only need coaching for a month. Like if you could pay $30 for one, I just think back, and again, I'm not trying to sell the coaching. I just want to encourage people. Maybe this will be the title of one of these videos we do, Rebecca, is if you're failing at carnivore, this is the advice. First of all, do something different. That's one thing.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of people that will go months and months failing and they just continue to do the same thing. But I would say coaching is another big one because if it's cost you $30 for 30 days and that could change your life forever, I just think back to what carnivore's done for me. And in the beginning, with the presentation of coaching, I'd be like, I don't need that.
I don't need it.
In retrospect now, I would have given every penny I have in the bank. I would have sold my house. I would have sold everything to have the healing that I've had. It's been that impactful on my life because I was hopelessly depressed for so many years before this. Like it could change your life forever sort of thing. But
absolutely.
Yeah. So failing on carnivore, get a coach or do something different or try something.
And there are great YouTube videos. Oh my gosh, you can learn so much by binging Dr. Barry. There's one doctor that I feel like we don't give enough credit to, and that's Dr. Robert Sivas out of Florida. Yeah. Like he is the carb addiction doc, and he's super smart. He's kind of no nonsense, kind of buttholeish, and I like it. But he's got a lot of good videos on there too. Like people come to him when they're stalling or when things aren't working or like, oh my gosh, my A1C is 12. Like, what do I do? Because I'm only eating meat. Hey, you know, it might be something medical. So let's fix it. And they do that. And they do concierge, like telemedicine.
Right. And
his group does too. So a lot of these people like do something different. Find somebody that you click with, find a coach, find a group. Find a community like healinghumanity.life is a good one. Dr. Barry's community. A lot of people really like Dr. Robert Kiltz's community. And he's like, now he's more fertility and virility. And that's great too. But I'm in his group and I'm not trying to have a baby. And, you know, Steak and Butter Gang, they have a great group. They're very close knit over there. So like lots of great options. Kelly Hogan runs challenges. I think hers are like $50 a month and you get like some really great access with her. So it's some really great stuff.
Yeah. And like you were saying too, even just the videos, that was the turning point for me was Dr. Barry, watching about 1,000 Dr. Barry videos. And I think I was searching for where's the scam here? What is this guy selling? Like he's got to be. And then I got to the end. I'm like, he just told me, like, I just got to eat a proper human diet. Everything you need to do this is in those videos. But on the flip side, some people need more guidance and need more support and need that community going forward kind of thing.
People are dealing with legit addictions, food addictions, eating disorders. Oh my gosh. If you have an eating disorder, please get a coach. Just because, but it is. Carnivore is freeing for a lot of people with eating disorders. Michelle Hearn is somebody that, if you haven't read her book, Dietitian's Dilemma, it's really great. She should be dead. Mm. And, you know, because she had such a bad eating disorder.
That is the addiction you just mentioned. That was my biggest carnivore epiphany. I finally realized, and I'm not saying this is everybody, but I do think it's a lot of people that don't admit it. I finally realized I'm addicted to sugar, standard American diet, and junk food. And that is why I did keto before and I had some really good success. But then I gained all the weight back and then some because I got down in weight a little bit. And then I'm like, I'm going to moderate. And I'm trying to moderate an addiction to sugar, which is more addictive, I think, than some hard drugs out there. So
the scientific evidence for that is there.
Yeah. I've had people on my channel say that too. They're like, I was addicted to cocaine and sugar, and it was easier getting off of the hard drugs than it was the sugar. I'm like, that's crazy.
I think the hardest thing for me to get off of was nicotine, but other than that, sugar.
Yeah. Well, the sugar is the tricky one, right? Because when you're trying to get off of nicotine or cocaine, people will help you. They'll be like, they'll support you. When you try to get off of sugar, like, what's one cupcake? It's not going to hurt you. Here, have another one.
This one cookie. Yeah. It's your little old grandma, but I made these your special favorites. Yep. Like, grandma, I don't eat that anymore. Oh, come on. Like, yeah.
So if you're failing at carnivore, Rebecca just gave you some really good advice. There may be something deeper too, but I would start at the easier stuff first. Like, for example, we were just talking, Rebecca was on our healinghumanity.life Zoom call, and we had an individual talking about stalling. One of the things I've seen a ton of, and again, I'm not a doctor, but I do talk to a lot of carnivores, is cheese stalling people out and causing them to fail on carnivore. They'll go months. Like, I lost some weight, I'm gone months. And I always ask them, because I've just seen this so much, I just put cheese with a little question mark next to it. And almost always it's like, yeah, I have been eating a lot of cheese. And then I snack on it, I eat more and more of it. And then I would get like 100 comments under that one of other people like, yeah, cheese ruined me. I had to quit the cheese. Once I quit the cheese, the weight started coming off, sort of thing. So
dairy. So dairy is one of those things that we do keep it in the house. And there's certain dairy that I do believe is beneficial. If people can make their own, I can never say it correctly, but it's like L Ruteri yogurt. If you can make that, because we don't get it. And if you've had antibiotics, especially as a child, it's gone. Like you never get it back unless you put it back in, and it's not really in our in food environment. If you can do that, that's great, and eat a serving of that a day and it'll replenish your gut bacteria and life's good. But we are the only animal that seeks milk after being weaned.
Right.
We are it. Okay. Cats will, because it's cream and cats will do it, but it's like, we're the only people that do, we're the only species that does that. And what do you give milk for? It's for growth.
Right.
So if you want to grow, like, okay, let's say you're a bodybuilder, add in the dairy, because you're going to pack on some, it's going to help you pack on what you need to pack on if you're trying to get big and bulky as a bodybuilder. But if you're trying to lose weight, you're not trying to grow bigger.
Yeah.
You're trying to get smaller. So dairy is evil, and cheese has the same addictive quality as morphine.
Yeah.
Maybe not exactly the same, but it sure feels like it some days.
It used to mess me up on keto. Like I would get Sam's Club used to have these bags of cube cheese. I'm like, oh, I'll just have two. And it would always be more and more and more.
Yeah.
So if you're failing at carnivore, consider
ditch the dairy.
Dairy or cheese. It could be something more extreme, like Rebecca was saying earlier, thyroid, something. Maybe you got to get your hormones checked, things like that. The other advice I always give to people is just maybe try something different, because we get into these. I notice I get into routines on carnivore where I'll literally eat the same thing over and over
every
again,
day,
every single day.
So it's so
switch it. Like try 3 days of lion diet, or maybe fast for 24 hours. It seems like if you do some drastic change,
I think if you go back now, I don't know where you fit on the evolutionary spectrum. I have my own thoughts about it. You can go watch that on Dante Ferrigno's channel.
Yeah.
Like, however, typically we had to find our food. And sometimes we ate in the morning because that's when we found food. Sometimes we ate in the evening because that's when we found food. Sometimes we didn't eat for 3 days because we sucked at being a hunter.
Yeah.
So I would say switching it up is always good. If you're eating, I think that we're meant to intermittent fast, but I think that we're also not meant to intermittent fast to the point like that we're hangry. And switching it up. If you're female, we tend to do better if we eat of the mornings and fast of the afternoons, evenings. Like, so it's just like weird things. Switch it up. You've been intermittent fasting, eating breakfast at 9 a.m. Push it to noon and change your eating window. Like, and see what happens with that. If you've been eating beef, butter, bacon, and eggs, the next week, eat some shellfish if you can. Some people can't. You know, eat tuna, eat salmon, eat more Mediterranean style, not meaning like go out and eat your pastas, but, you know, eat more fish and chicken versus eating just beef. Like it's right. Okay. That's one of my biggest things is somebody's like, you're doing carnivore wrong because you're eating chicken. Chicken's a horrible meat. I'm like, it is meat.
Yeah.
It is still carnivore, people.
Yep. Yep. Like, no, I love that's been my go-to on carnivore is, okay, let's just take a step back and ancestrally speaking, what would we have done for thousands of years? And if I'm doing that, then I think I'm good. And it's just like you said, we would have fasted for a couple of days. We would have feasted. I guess the biggest advice for people, if you feel like you're failing at carnivore or stalling at carnivore, is just take a big step back and don't continue doing the same thing for months and months and months. That would be my big advice. Try to switch it up. Try to get a coach. Try to check into something, but don't continue doing what you're doing. But also, I guess on the flip side, you got to realize too, some people say they're stalling on carnivore, and in some cases they're not. They're just healing, or maybe they're just weighing themselves on the scale.
Or their body body recomposition is huge on carnivore.
Yeah.
And I think that we've also, as I grew up in the 90s, so I'm born in the 80s, grew up as a teenager in the 90s. So like I was the fat is fat, fat makes you fat, like don't eat fat, you know, thing. I think that during that time period, it was just told to us that women should eat less and eat less and eat less and eat less. We're chronically undernourished, especially women. So I think that also there's a period of time where you need to feed yourself.
Right.
Just eat. Like, yeah. Allow yourself to eat, and then you can start figuring out macros and dialing things in for your specific goals.
Yeah. That is an interesting thing. I think there's a lot of people that do carnivore for a while and they feel like they're stalled, but actually their body composition, like you mentioned, is changing. They're gaining muscle. Maybe their bone density is changing, but because they're looking only at the scale and not measuring, it looks like I'm not making any progress. They get frustrated, but actually they're getting a lot healthier and they're making really good progress, but the scale doesn't reflect it. So that scale can be real deceiving sometimes.
Yes. Well, I've got my scale right now. I have a 20-pound kettlebell in there. I'm sorry, I keep picking up my face. There is a hair that is like tickling my face. It's driving me nuts. I keep a kettlebell beside of it because it's notorious. If you move the scale, it will be off. And one time I put the kettlebell on it, it's like 18 pounds. It's 20 pounds. You put next day, it'll be 23.6. And I'm like,
right?
That's a 6-point spread here. Like, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, the scale is a tricky one. Unfortunately, a lot of us just use that. But the advice a lot of people give is to do measurements. And I didn't take my own advice on that one. I wish I would have, but
try to tell people starting out, like any of my clients, I'm like, I don't care if you want to go by weight, you can. However, get you a spool of cheap yarn.
Yeah.
Cheap yarn. And you're going to measure your waist with your yarn, and then you're going to tape it to the wall. The next week you're going to do it again, and you're going to tape it up beside that one. And eventually you get this, like, reminds you of a harp, like harp strings, because they get shorter, and it's like, you get to see it that way. And I think that's more impactful than being like, oh, look, I lost 20 inches, but only 15 pounds. Okay. I know that's a lot, but it's a big spread, but it's like, they don't look the same.
Right. That is awesome. I never heard that one. That is awesome advice to visually be able to look at that too and be like, whoa, that is progress. And then if you're struggling a little bit that day, you look over at that, you're like, I don't want that trend to stop. Like,
yep.
How cheap is a roll of yarn? Let's go.
It's great.
That's awesome. Man, I can't believe we've been talking for an hour. Oh, just one more thing I want to say real quick. You mentioned earlier, and I'm probably saying it wrong too, the L-Rutery yogurt. I didn't do any real dairy other than butter, but no milk or cheese or anything. But I saw Dr. Berg, and I don't know if you saw that video or people watching. Dr. Berg did a video on this L-Rutery yogurt. And I believe it was the author of the guy that wrote the Wheat Belly book. He's done a whole bunch of...
And the book that the recipe is in is by Dr. Davis.
Yes.
And it's called Supergut.
Supergut. Yeah. Yes. And Dr. Davis. It's
super easy to make this stupid yogurt. However, FYI, it is smelly.
Yes.
It is a smelly yogurt. So if you like a really good smelly cheese, so it reminds me of Romano cheese. Like the smell of Romano. It's thick.
Mine was more feta.
Yours was more feta?
Yeah. I did this before we went to film in Australia. It was the first thing I did that was kind of more dairy, because like I said, I don't do cheese or milk or anything. Yeah. But I watched this whole video. It was like you said, it's fascinating stuff, because on carnivore, I feel like I'm doing everything natural. However, starting at a deficit because antibiotics, glyphosate, pesticides, all of these reasons, our gut bacteria is messed up. Like, we're missing good bacteria that humans have had since the start of time. It's only this little sliver of time that we're missing it.
And dude, go and look at the, if you look at the studies on this gut bacteria, it is like, and this is like, I'm almost skeptical because it seems like a miracle. And now you have to get all the rest of your life in order too for all this to happen. But it's like anti-aging, it helps with irritable bowel. So if people have bowel issues, it helps with weight loss for some reason. Yeah. It's, and they don't know, I don't think they know 100% why, but it's like,
it's crazy. The studies are crazy too, because the people that were losing weight, I think Dr. Davis was saying, They were testing this for other reasons, but they're like, well, let's just test their weight too, because we're doing this study. Mm-hmm. And I, if I'm getting this correctly, these people weren't even really doing keto or carnivore. Not that I'm advocating for that, but it is crazy that people are losing weight that way. But what it is for those that don't know, Rebecca mentioned it, we've had this, we've got good bacteria, bad gut bacteria. It's something that humans know very little about, kind of like the human brain, what's going on with the gut bacteria. But we do know that most humans are deficient in certain bacteria that we've had in our guts since the start of time because of pesticides and humanity escaping from what's natural through the foods we're eating and pesticides and stuff like that. And so this yogurt allows you to restore it. If anyone wants to watch a really good video, Dr. Berg, if you Google Dr. Berg gut yogurt, he actually shows the recipe. It's super simple, like you said, Rebecca, but you have to do it a certain way. You get this probiotic pill. You can't just eat the pill.
You have to crush it. Yeah, it's because it's just not enough. So it's the BioGaia is the brand that I bought off of Amazon. You have to crush it. That each one of those tablets does not have enough to replenish your gut bacteria. Like you'd need to chug a whole bottle of it. And so you crush them up. You do have to buy inulin. Sorry, nobody likes inulin. It's a prebiotic fiber, and that is what the bacteria is going to eat. You know, and you mix that up, and you. I use my Instant Pot. I have the sous vide.
Oh, nice.
On mine, the sous vide setting, and I now use, and this is something other people can use too. For the first batch is to make a starter batch. That's going to be your starter batch. I used heavy cream. It's super thick and clumpy and nasty and smelly. And I put it into 2 tablespoon like molds and put it in the freezer, freeze it. I pull it out. And that's how I start a batch of the yogurt. And then I buy the Fairlife milk, whole milk. It does have less carbs in it. And so it makes a little bit thinner yogurt in it too. So it's not like butter. If you use heavy cream, you will have yogurt butter. It is not, if you're a texture person, you will not be able to choke it down.
Right. The first time I've only done 2 batches, and then I went to Australia, and then I didn't do it again, but I intended to do it some more. It's like too early to tell. Like, I didn't feel bad. I don't know if I have any change from it, but I feel good about it. But yeah, the first batch, it was a little, it's like a little smelly, but then I started eating it. And like by the second day, I was like, this is actually really good. So I don't know. I got a little yogurt maker on Amazon, but that's cool. You can use the Instant Pot. Yeah.
Yeah. Now what are you using as your dairy base?
I was using organic, was it cream?
So yours is super ultra mega thick then. It's like,
yeah. It's almost like a cheese, like a cream cheese or something by the end of it. And that was what I got to remember. My brain isn't firing 100% now. I used whatever Dr. Berg suggested in that video. And I think he actually has a recipe underneath it, but I think it was just cream.
If you use whole, don't ever go below whole milk, but you could do like, you could use a thing of half and half if you wanted to. And it probably has the same. Probably has the same amount of carbs in it as whole milk if you use half and half, but it's it'll be very thick if you use more fat equals thicker, and less fat equals a little thinner. So whole milk is gets you a pretty decent consistency. Are you blending the whey back in, or are you draining it?
I blended it back in. So
okay, so you didn't drain it.
No.
That my first batch, I drained it, and it was just so thick and curdled and clumpy that I was like, this is going to be a starter batch. And so I have a big bag of starter batches.
Right. See, Dr. Berg didn't mention that, but someone in the comments did. I didn't even know that was a starter batch. I'm so dumb. I'm like, I got to remake this every time. But then I learned, no, you could just take some from the first, and then you can make the next one and ferment it again. And then you can just keep going on forever sort of thing.
You just keep doing it. But it's fascinating, isn't it? That like when I was reading about it, it's so interesting that babies are born with it. Babies right? are born with it.
Yep. And then as soon as you give them some antibiotics or maybe I think this is my theory as an individual, not an expert, but I think glyphosate is another one that's killing our gut bacteria that some people are talking about.
It acts as a low level. It does act as a low level antibiotic in the body. Yeah.
And anyone watching this, if you Google glyphosate, it is actually an antibiotic. It kills the bacteria in the soil. It'll kill the bacteria in your gut. Now it's a low level we're getting. But if you're having low levels of glyphosate every single day,
if you're eating a bowl of Cheerios every day and oatmeal every day, you are just destroying your gut bacteria.
100% for years and years and decades and decades. So that was one of my theories lately to another carnivore epiphany. It's like, I know many of the reasons why people are healing on carnivore, but I wonder if a larger reason that goes a little under the radar is the fact that we're healing our gut. You're not ingesting the glyphosate anymore, but you're healing your gut because you're fixing the balance with your gut bacteria because you're not putting in other words, eating carnivore is the lowest exposure you can get to glyphosate.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely is.
I don't think there's Dr. Zach Bush. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Mm-mm. He's not carnivore, but if anyone out there is watching is want to learn about how horrible glyphosate is, Google Dr. Zach Bush glyphosate. It is everywhere now. They tested like in the southern states, and there's so much runoff from all the farms into the Mississippi River of glyphosate. It evaporates, and 70% of the air tested in the southern United States has glyphosate in it. So you walk outside and take a breath. You're breathing a low level of glyphosate. You eat a bowl of cereal every single time you're eating glyphosate. A lot of the produce that's so good for you, even the organic stuff, 60% of organic kale tested had glyphosate on it. So everyone's always like these cynics, oh, it's the dose that matters. I'm like, I don't want any dose of antibiotics in me at all, or pesticides or these other things, but is it the dose that matters if you have it every day for 30 years? What about that? What about long-term low dosage things?
Well, and we wonder, you look at what's in like let's go back to birth and the children and childhood disorders and neurological disorders and neurodevelopmental disorders. Like we've got so many neurodivergent kids.
Right.
Why? You look at how much glyphosate is in formula?
Right. Oh my goodness.
It just makes you wonder because I mean, I keep a bookshelf of stuff behind me. So this book is Ketogenic Nutrition. But Nutrition Network, Tim Noakes, that's his baby. It is a textbook on ketogenic diets and ketosis. And there's a statistic in there that children with autism spectrum disorder are more likely to have not been breastfed. So they've been formula fed.
Wow.
So we've kept them from being into ketosis. We've fed them with formula that probably has, it's mostly soy. And probably has more glyphosate in it than what they've ever needed. And then their first foods, we give them rice cereal, oatmeal, you know, and how much baby food, they say it's all organic with the baby food. How much glyphosate is in baby food? So how much of this is because we've environmentally just screwed up our kids?
Right.
How much have we done this to them?
I've also heard too that I'm pretty sure I heard this, that children with autism often also have stomach issues, a lot of digestive stomach issues as well. So it kind of ties into that too.
Jacob was, from the time he was really, really, really little. He was on, like, when we're talking infancy, he was on GERD medication.
Oh, wow.
He projectile vomited. Audrey, Jacob's was coming out the front end. Audrey's wouldn't go out the back end. Like, so it's like, and this was when they were infants. So it's like, yeah, gut issues from the beginning. And they still have gut issues to this day. Like, we still have problems with gut issues with both our kids.
This whole, the whole gut bacteria, gut biome thing, I'm hoping we have some emerging science coming out, because I've talked to a lot of people about it. And most people, like Bart Kay, one of the smartest, he's like, we know almost nothing about the gut bacteria, gut biome. I think it's a huge part of the puzzle. I had this woman on the other day. Oh, it was a couple months ago. Her name is, Malia. I always say it wrong. Malia or Malia. Yeah. And she was talking about gut bacteria, gut biome, and the fact that when you eat sugar, starch, and carbs, it refeeds the bad gut bacteria. And then you get this dysbiosis, this unbalance. That was one of the more interesting things I've heard in a long time and fired a lot of people up, because I was always like, yeah, if you cheat on carnivore, that sucks, because you maybe get knocked out of ketosis and maybe you got to go through keto flu again. She's like, no, it could actually be a lot worse than that. But again, we don't know a whole bunch about all of that. But in my head, I have this goal now. The reason I was doing the L-Rotary yogurt too, I'm like, I want to restore my gut health. And I have a personal challenge for myself. I want to have like the most pristine gut bacteria, gut biome I can. Like, I don't want to mess
around. So are you going to test it?
I should. Yeah, I will. I don't know how good the testing even is though, because even then it's like, well, we don't know. It's diverse.
I don't know. I have no idea. I think Dr. Barry always says that those gut biome tests are kind of like crap. no pun intended, but it's like, meh.
I've heard similar too, or that the gold standard for gut bacteria was based on, I think, like a tribe in Africa or something like that. Someone was telling me this.
And their soil is so different from ours.
Right, right. It's like Dr. Bart Kay says, it's one of those things. What are you testing against? You almost need two identical twins and put them next to each other. What I would like to see is if there was a baby born that was never exposed to glyphosate or pesticides, ate a natural diet, that would be the ultimate gut bacteria that I'd want to compare to.
Gosh, how would you even do that though?
Yeah. That's like, that's what Bart Kay says. You can't even do. So like almost all of these nutrition studies are garbage because they're not doing them properly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't ethically, like, what are you going to do? Find, technically they're like, oh, you need identical twins. No, you need identical triplets. Because right. you need one for this diet, one for this diet, and one for control.
Yeah. Well, and then Bart Kay says too, and you need to lock them into a lab so you could monitor everything. But then just even the act of locking them into the lab, okay, now you're changing their environment. They're not in the everyday world like we are. So now that's another confounding variable that changes things. So yeah, there's no way to test.
Have you seen that movie, The Island?
Was that with Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, it was with Ian McGregor and Scarlett Johansson, where they were clones.
No, I haven't seen that one.
Okay, you need to go watch that, because it just reminds me of that.
I'll have to take a look.
You have to take a look. It's a good movie to watch if you've never seen it. You're going to be like, wow, how did I miss this movie? It's great. But it just, like, that was the type of thing that you would have to do these nutritional studies and get accurate, real,
right,
results.
That was one of my turning points towards carnivore, finally near the end, where I was like, wait a minute, what the hell is going on? Like, these nutritional studies, eggs are great for you, and then a week later, eggs are going to kill you. It's like back and forth, and I started to realize, wow, all of this, I was so foolish all my life thinking that those studies were science and they were there for my benefit, and every single one of them is bought and paid for with an agenda behind them to sell you something or to steer you towards
absolutely something else. Well, I think that a book that highlights that, if you haven't read it, you probably have, but The Big Fat Surprise by Nina Teicholz?
I think it's Teicholz, but every time I say her name too, I double guess myself.
I always say it wrong. She's a wonderful person. fantastic book. If you are like me, you need it on audiobook. I did it on audiobook. And it explains all that, you know, about how it was like, it's all fraud. Right. We've been fed the big, we are in the biggest long-term dietary study ever.
Right.
By the federal government.
The standard American science experiment we're all going through.
Yep. And it failed miserably.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy when you disconnect from the matrix and you start getting rid of the brain fog and you start seeing clearly like how crazy all of
this really is. Red pill, blue pill. Like that movie was so prophetic in so many ways. It really is red pill, blue pill. And that's not, you know, Republican, Democrat. That's like, it's like, do you want to know the truth or do you want to stay with your head in the sand?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like he says, once you go the unplugged route, there's no going back.
No going back. And then all of these other puzzle pieces start filling in. We're like, whoa, okay, this all makes sense now.
Why do you think I'm doing what I'm doing? It's like, Dr. Barry, like, I was telling you, I kind of wanted to talk about this, but just quickly, Dr. Barry, when I met him in April of 2023 at KetoCon, I was a nurse and I was just like, should I do this? Should I go back to get my nurse practitioner? Because everybody wants a medical provider that is either keto friendly, carnivore friendly, low carb friendly, and unplugged from the establishment. And so I asked him, I was like, so should I do this? He's like, hell yeah, you should do this. Like, we need more. So if you're a medical professional out there and you're on keto or you're carnivore and you're still going about your daily life, working that med surge job or that office job, and you're like wanting more, go back to school, become a provider, and be the change. Like, I'm hoping that I will be the change. Be the change in the medical profession, because we do need you. The only thing is put your head down, say the answers they teach you in school, pass your boards, and then you can practice, you know.
Right.
Then you can practice better than what they're teaching you in school.
You're giving me hope for the future, because like I said, my girls are about to graduate. I'm encouraging them to do something similar. Not just because I'm so passionate about this, but there's a huge demand, and it's only going to grow bigger now with Make America Healthy Again and some of these things coming up. People want to get healed. They want a doctor that's going to treat the root cause. And the demand for that is huge now. Imagine 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 20 years.
Let's not even talk about the demand for low carb friendly or just functional medical practitioners. The fact of the matter is if you go and you look up the American Medical Association, it is all, they have all kinds of studies on this. We are facing a doctor shortage, a physician, this is a physician. We're not talking about physician's assistants. We're not talking about nurse practitioners. We are facing a doctor shortage of biblical proportions. And there are enough nurse practitioners already out there to fill in that gap, but the American Medical Association does not want nurse practitioners to fill that gap, because they feel that I'm not there yet, but that nurse practitioners are not qualified to fill that gap. So instead they want they're like, okay, well, you're just stuck with what there is, but then there's wait times of 9 months to get into a physician, or, you know, 6 months to get into a specialist. And that's a problem. And we need more medical providers to go into we just need more.
Right.
We need more nurses that end up going to be nurse practitioners. So we need more nurses to take their places, and we need people to go and be doctors.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. Even in the last 10 years, just going into the doctor's appointment, months long waiting time to get in. And then you sit in there for a couple hours before the doctor can come in, and you feel like you're the, probably the, 80th person he's seen that day.
Quick interruption. Thank you so much for watching. If you're interested in learning more about our documentary, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet, or supporting it, please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. Our goal is to reach millions of people that are hopeless right now, and sharing the examples of real people over the course of 1 year that are undertaking a proper human diet to overcome obesity, type 2 diabetes, depression, anxiety, fertility issues. We couldn't do it without you. We thank you so much. We are also selling these shirts, Healing Humanity, The Power of a Proper Human Diet. Every penny we get from those goes towards the documentary. And last, we have memberships. If you click the little join button, it's best to do it on desktop. Under any one of my YouTube videos, you can join and become a member. We have hundreds of members right now. We do members-only videos. We do members-only behind the scenes. You can email me as a member and I'll answer you. And every penny from that goes to support the documentary. And the last thing is, we have these Redmond's portable salt shakers. These things are awesome. You can get the best salt. You can take it with you. We sell these on the website along with our water bottles and cutting boards, and every penny from all of those goes 100% towards supporting the documentary. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which is completely free. All of these links are in the description below. Thank you so much for your support. Now back to today's video.
Just one to the next, to the next, to the next. There's a doctor shortage and unhealthy overage. People are sicker now than ever before. It's like the perfect storm.
It is. And yeah, the baby boomers are retiring and getting older, so it's and they're getting sicker.
Right. We need to change all of our incentives. Like, it would be awesome if there were some incentives out there for proper human diet, keto, nutrition, coaching, healthcare. Mm-hmm. The other one is the maybe with the Make America Healthy Again, they'll do this, but instead of subsidizing corn and high fructose corn syrup, subsidizing regenerative farms and local independent farmers that are doing things right. My neighbor that lives right down the road here, sixth generation farmer, the guy works 12 hours a day in a factory, and then in the morning he's out, he's got meat cows, and he's got a whole farm. He's all hours of the day, he's working for pennies. And I'm like, he's doing it right too. Regenerative, proper farming, grass-fed, grass-finished cows. And I'm like, when he's done, who's going to raise their hand and be like, yeah, I want to do that job and then work 12 hours a day on top of it because I can't make ends meet because I'm making pennies on the dollar for this. And meanwhile, they're subsidizing all these other things out there.
Yep. It's all bass ackwards.
Yeah. Hopefully a lot of that will change too. We got to get, that would be cool.
I'm cautiously optimistic and hopeful that we will get on a better path to making people healthy again. And I'm not trying to be like, not trying to be political, but we do have an epidemic of just a huge epidemic of disease in this country. And I think that if we do it right, we can absolutely turn it around, but it's going to take, it's grassroots though too, you know. Yeah. A lot of it is, you know, Dr. Berry started as a backwoods family practice doctor on on Facebook, doing Facebook lives about how this can help people. And it's like, it's grassroots. Now he's got over 3 million followers and a huge community of, you know, over 7,000 people and coaches. And he's got a regenerative farm of his own now. He's, you know, walking the walk, you know. Yeah. And it's going to start with me telling my neighbor, you know. It's almost, I hate to say this because it's so horrible, but it's almost evangelical.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't tell somebody that something helps, you know.
Right. Tell them or show them. I'm totally with you. Like, the Make America Healthy stuff is great. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I don't have any faith in the government for anything. I think it's good to spread awareness, but it's like you said, ultimately it's the individual. When we named the documentary Healing Humanity, we're like, that's a crazy, like, how dare you? You're going to heal humanity. And Dr. Yeah. Kilt said this. He's like, oh, it's easy. This is what you do. You heal yourself and then you show someone and they see your healing and you inspire them. That's how you do it. Grassroots, like you said. So that's kind of the thought behind Healing Humanity. It's really easy. Every person watching this, all you got to do is heal yourself. You don't have to worry about healing 8 billion people because that's impossible to wrap our brains around, but just heal yourself and inspire other people. It's working too, because this works like nothing ever before, right?
It does. Both that, like, and you know, and I'm one of those people that I talk to people and I'm like, listen, my story's not spectacular. My story is of gradual healing that took years. And I'm just very like pig-headed and stubborn, and I'm just plowing forward. But there are people who literally have done this and couldn't walk and now can walk. There are people like, if you haven't done a video with Amy Hosp yet and heard her story, she's so lovely. And now she's able to put away her wheelchair. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. You've got Renee, who not using a cane anymore. Like, we have, and who is it? Dr. Chafee right now is looking for people who have healed neurodegenerative diseases. It's like, because there are people that have healed it. There are people who have reversed multiple sclerosis lesions in the brain.
Yeah.
And I have a friend that she may or may not ever see this, who has multiple sclerosis. And she's on all these immunosuppressant medications, and it took her multiple drugs to even find one that worked. And I see her, and she goes out and she's drinking alcohol, and she's eating all the sugar and the carbs and the things. And I'm like, but I can also, if you look at her, you can see her aging faster than what she should be. And I'm like, that's like, there's a way where maybe that doesn't have to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's worth a shot. Oh my Lord, is it worth a shot?
Right.
Like, it's worth trying.
Yeah. I just interviewed a woman. It's not quite live yet. Diane from Boston, mm-hmm. MS. And she's thriving on carnivore right now and doing so much better. And Dave Mack has had several people on his channel, I think five now, where actually their lesions are going down. And this is on MRI. This is in their medical records. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff is just crazy. But yeah, I think the more examples we get out there, that's why we're doing the documentary. Put as many examples out there, doing the YouTube videos also. It seems like the more examples we get, maybe Diane's story of MS would inspire your friend where something else wouldn't. Sadly, some people just wait until they're too desperate, rock bottom. And hopefully for those people, they don't wait till it's too late.
I will say that there's some people, like, they do wait till last minute. And I don't know if you have heard of Nick Norwitz's story. Do you know Nick Norwitz?
I'm familiar with him a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So when he was at Oxford, so he was on palliative care.
Oh, wow.
When he was in, yeah. So now he's keto, he's not carnivore. But he was on palliative care for, I don't know if it was ulcerative colitis or if it was Crohn's disease. It was one or the other. And now there's no evidence of disease. It's gone. But he was on palliative care. Like, what people don't understand is that is the step right before hospice.
Right.
Like, they called his mom in and was like, you need to come because we don't think he's going to survive.
That's crazy. Looking at him now, such a young, healthy guy.
Yeah. It's insane. And in one of his recent videos, he was talking about gut axis, right? About Alzheimer's and about how, you know, these things help with Alzheimer's, like that ketosis helps with Alzheimer's.
Right.
Like,
yeah, there's so many things that we heal right now. And that's my new long-term why is I really believe humans are dying way earlier than we should, mm-hmm. and we've accepted it, which should be a huge tragedy.
It is written in our DNA to live 120 years. It is written in our DNA. Now imagine that 120 years, and we are only living to what?
75.
What's the average, like 70 something?
Yeah.
So that's another almost 50 years, five decades that we're missing out on.
We're thrown away for pizza and Twinkies and temporary mouth pleasure. It's crazy. And the 70s that we're living to, by the way,
is not quality.
We're barely getting there. Aches and pains, ailments and issues, mobility. Like, you work your entire life to retirement mm-hmm. age, and then a couple of years later, you're dead. It's crazy. That should be all over the news, right? That is one of my big carnivore epiphanies. That should be, everybody should be angry about that. And why is it happening? so that we can make big food, big pharma, big medicine richer. That's really what it is.
But here, but richer for what? Because they're going to die too.
Yeah.
They're not living to their, they're not living to their 90s and 100.
Right.
They're dying too. So the money that these people are making.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there's nobody around to enjoy it.
Right. It's one of those things, like, you don't know what you don't know, and people don't realize it. I've got people like my dad, he's in his 70s, and he's like, I'm too old to start eating this way. He was just diagnosed with this blood cancer last year. I'm too old. I'm like, you're 70. Like, you could. We interviewed Maggie at 83, and she said, I'm just getting started. And there was no, she's not even joking. She's like, I feel like I'm middle aged right now. She said, I'm going to, she said, you
she
can
is technically.
Me. Yeah.
She is.
She said, laugh at me. Laugh at me if you want. I'll live to be 120. I'd bet all my money in the bank. There's no way. She's going to live to be 120 easily, easily. And everybody would be if they were eating the same way she was. For those that don't know, Maggie's been eating carnivore for 65 years, and she's a picture of good health.
And
full
it's not
blonde
because
hair in her 80s.
I know her hair is not gray.
No gray. And people kept asking when we interviewed her, what does she use for skincare products, hair care products? She started laughing. She's like, are you joking? I don't use anything. I don't use any, I don't put dye in my hair. I don't use any makeup. I do nothing. She's like
her
our
skin
ancestors
is lovely.
Natural. Yeah.
Yeah, her skin is lovely. Oh my gosh. When I saw that, I was like, mind blown. Somebody's like, she's 83. I think it was Chafee that put it out. And yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? You are lying. That woman is in her 50s.
No, nope. I'm not trying to overhype the documentary. Maggie's a big part of it, but I can't wait, Rebecca, for you to see more. Because everyone's seeing Maggie flexing and the hair. Yep. But seeing her, she is like a teenager. Her energy, Adam and I are like, wait a minute, she's 83. She is like just bouncing off the walls with this young energy. It was the weirdest thing. It's crazy.
How old is Dr. Kiltz? He's in his 60s, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's pushing 70.
Yep. I think he's 68. His energy's crazy too. You know, this is my theory.
I'm just saying, like,
all of the people that I've met that just have this crazy energy. Now, Dr. Kiltz is the best. His energy is off the charts. Anyone that meets Dr.
Kiltz, I thought he was on crack. Like, yeah. No, I mean, no offense to him. He's wonderful. I love him. But dude, that man is like.
And what has he done? He's one of the longest running carnivores. I think he's at 13, 14 years eating carnivore. Who else do we know that's been doing carnivore that long? Kelly Hogan.
Kelly Hogan. And she's
crazy
energy. Yep.
Right? And then who else? I just recently interviewed Dr. Lisa Wiedemann.
She's got
16 years carnivore.
But she's got energy, but her energy is subtle.
Right.
Her energy is not hyper energy. It's almost happy energy. It's weird.
Like a Zen energy. But there's something to her energy that is like, whoa, what's she doing?
I want that. Like, yeah. I don't know what she's got, but I want it. Yeah.
So like the four or five people I know that have been doing carnivore the longest and Maggie for 65 years all have this incredible energy.
So
there's another long-term carnivore why. Like, I want to be in that zone. Their gut bacteria is probably just pristine, perfect, by the way. Yeah.
Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah. Man, we've been talking for an hour and a half.
This
has been awesome, Rebecca. You are the best. Hey, Rebecca, we got a shout out. Rebecca has, you're on YouTube, you're on social media. Can you tell people where they can find you to learn more?
So if you just search my name, Rebecca Bavery, in any of the socials, you will find me. On two of them, it is Keeping It Keto LLC. That's my business. And then YouTube is just at Rebecca Bavery CPHC for Certified Primal Health Coach.
Awesome. And I will have links in the descriptions for all of that. And I encourage everyone watching my channel, go subscribe, go follow Rebecca, go support what she's doing. We got to elevate the voices of people that are doing the good work out there. If people are interested in coaching, can they approach you for that too through your website or?
Absolutely. They can, my website is whatisketo.com. Don't ask me how I scored that one, but I totally scored that one. And it was cheap too, as years and years ago, but it's like sweet, but it's whatisketo.com. They can reach me there. My email is Rebecca@whatisketo.com. You can reach me there. I'm also the coach's coach. I've had a lot of people ask, like, come to me and be like, I want to be a coach. How do I do that? You can do that too. You can ask me and I'll help you research which programs are right for you, because not every program is right for every person. And it all depends on what you want to do, what degrees you already have, and yeah, what your goals are.
This has been great. We got to do this again. Maybe we'll do a live stream sometime.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rebecca. And thank you for everything you're doing for Healing Humanity. You've been awesome. Over a year helping us with all the stuff behind the scenes and shouting out the documentary trailer on the, was it the Low Carb Cruise?
Low Carb Cruise with Dr. Hampton. I was able to do that. That was super fun. And then talking at the meetup in Charlotte.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Really appreciate you. Have a good day.
Yep. You too.